بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. اللهم زدنا علما نافعا وفقها في الدين يا رب العالمين، وجعلنا مما يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وهو العلي العظيم. أما بعد، فحياكم الله جميعا وأهلا وسهلا. جزاكم الله خير for all of you for staying for tonight's halaqa بإذن الله تعالى, which we ask to be blessed بإذن الله تعالى. Alhamdulillah, we are in the 49th class or halaqa in the chapter on the nawaqil al-wudu, the things that break the wudu. And we began a hadith last time which spoke about the things that that wudu is required for, and one of the things we mentioned was making wudu for touching the mushaf, which is a matter within which there is some difference of opinion amongst the ulama, but the strongest opinion amongst the scholars is that one must have tahara when touching the mushaf. Now let us read today's hadith, which is related to that hadith that we studied last week, inshaAllah ta'ala. وَعَنْ آئِشَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا قَالَتْ كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يذكر الله على كل أحيانه رواه مسلم وعلقه البخاري. Aisha رضي الله عنها, she narrates that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to remember and mention Allah at all times. He used to make dhikr of Allah at all times. The hadith was narrated by Imam Muslim. And so we see that the author of this book, Ibn Hajar, he mentions this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, he used to make dhikr all the time. In all places, at all times, he used to make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now one of the insights into the books of fiqh is that the scholars, they placed every hadith for a reason. And oftentimes the one hadith will follow the one before it for a very special and important reason. And we'll see here that the author, he mentioned this hadith that the Prophet ﷺ remembered Allah and made dhikr of Allah at all times after the hadith that mentioned that one cannot touch the mushaf without having a state of wudu. And there was a reason for that. There was a fiqhi reason, a scholarly reason for that. The reason was that when a person, when they hear or they learn a hadith that they're not allowed to touch the mushaf when they don't have a state of wudu, so they might think or they might have the thought that one cannot remember Allah at all without a state of wudu. One might think that one cannot recite the Quran without a state of wudu. So in order to remove that ambiguity or that doubt from the mind of the reader of this book, Al-Bulugh al-Maram, the Shaykh, he brought the hadith that the Prophet ﷺ remembered Allah all the time. Even when he didn't have wudu, he used to remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And so from this, the scholars, they say that the Prophet ﷺ made dhikr, meaning saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Istighfar, he did this all the time, whether he had wudu or not. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ. Those who remember Allah standing, sitting, and on their side. So the Prophet ﷺ, according to this hadith of Aisha, who knew his life intimately, she knew that he made dhikr at all times, including when he didn't have a state of wudu. So in order to remove that doubt in the mind of a person when he reads that he cannot touch the mushaf without wudu, he knows now he can still make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that we learn from this hadith is that a person is allowed to make dhikr of Allah in all states, even in a state of janaba. Meaning a person, if they had a sexual impurity, they can still make dhikr of Allah. However, there is one exception from the word dhikr. And the scholars say that the dhikr of Allah, one can make at all states, except reading the Qur'an when one is in a state of janaba. One can make any other type of dhikr except reading the Qur'an. One is not allowed to read even one letter of the Qur'an if they're in a state of janaba, sexual impurity. And the proof of that is the hadith that was narrated that the Prophet ﷺ used to recite the Quran at all times, ما لم يكن جنوبا, as long as he was not in a state of janabah. So there's a clear text that makes an exception to this rule. Aisha, she said, he remembered Allah at all times and all places. The Prophet ﷺ used to make dhikr of Allah at all times, في كل أحيانه. But then another text, it provides an exception. He did not read Quran when he was junub. And so the scholars, they say, dhikr is allowed in all states, at all times, even in janabah, except reading the Quran. Reading Quran is not allowed when one is in a state of janabah. So that's an exception to the generality of what Aisha radiallahu anha said. There's also two other exceptions to making dhikr of Allah. Dhikr of Allah azza wa jal is inappropriate and haram during one's answering the call of nature. It is not allowed, it is inappropriate to make the dhikr of Allah, to mention Allah when one is answering the call of nature. And in fact, we have a hadith that forbids something even less than that. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, if two men are answering the call of nature, let them not speak to one another. So if two people are not allowed to speak to each other when they're answering the call of nature, how can they remember Allah and speak of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the ulama, they indicate that it is not allowed to mention Allah or make dhikr of Allah while answering the call of nature. Even more than that, it is not allowed to make dhikr of Allah in the bathroom. Even if one enters the bathroom without intention of answering the call of nature, within the bathroom itself, it is not allowed to make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are three exceptions to this hadith. The hadith says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dhikr of Allah in all times or all the time. The one exception is he didn't read Quran when he was junub, and he did not make dhikr of Allah when he was answering the call of nature, nor in the bathroom. And I'm sorry, one also case when he did not make dhikr of Allah, or when it is not allowed, when it is forbidden to make dhikr of Allah, is during the intimate relation with one's wife. So ulama say that this is not appropriate or not a permissible time to make dhikr of Allah during the intimate relation. However, before having the intimate relation, there is a dua to be made. Before entering the bathroom, there is a dua to be made. So these places, although dhikr is not allowed, while actually performing the action of answering the call of nature or intimate relations, but just before it, there's du'as that are taught. As the Prophet ﷺ, when he entered the bathroom, he said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubathi wal-khaba'ith. And another reading, inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi, not khubuthi, but khubthi wal-khaba'ith. And khubuth in Arabic, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from the khubuth. Khubuth in Arabic, it refers to the type of shaitan, a type of jinns. Khubuth. Khubuth. But when you have a dhamma on the back, khubuth, it means a type of shaitan. Khubth in Arabic, it means anything other than good, filthy. So both readings are valid here. Allahumma inni a'udhubika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith, I seek refuge in you from anything impure and dirty. Or Allahumma inni a'udhubika min al-khubuthi wal-khaba'ith, which means the evil jinns or the shayateen of the male and the female type. So both of these du'as are recommended before actually entering the bathroom. But after entering the bathroom, then it becomes forbidden for one to mention Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we see these three exceptions to the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. So now we come to an important subject, which is, when is it required to make wudu? When is it recommended to make wudu? Because we've been studying making wudu and what breaks the wudu, but now we should ask ourselves, this wudu, is there times where it is required, or are there times where it's recommended, and so on. We would like to know when we should make wudu. So the first thing the scholars, they divide, or they say that wudu has times when it's obligatory to make wudu. And there's times when it's recommended to make wudu, to do an act of worship, and there's times when it's recommended to do wudu even if one is not going to do an act of worship. So we have times when it's obligatory to make wudu, which is to do an obligatory act of worship, and there's times when it's recommended to make wudu in order to do an optional act of worship, and there's times when it's recommended to do wudu even if one is not going to worship. So let us look at a few examples, or to clarify these categories, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. The first thing the scholars, they mention, is that it's obligatory to make wudu for the salah and the tawaf. This is agreed upon by all of the ulama, as long as one wants to perform a prayer, a salah, he must have wudu, it's required. And also for the tawaf, it is required, obligatory to have the wudu, to do the tawaf, other than in the school of Abu Hanifa, where he says it is less than obligatory, it is wajib in the school of Abu Hanifa. And also it is required to have wudu to touch the mushaf, according to the stronger of the opinions amongst the ulama. Now, when is it recommended to have the wudu? The scholars say it is recommended to have wudu in a number of different circumstances. One is when making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, the wudu is not required to make dhikr of Allah, as we just mentioned. Aisha said he made wudu, he made dhikr all the time, but it is recommended. It is recommended to have wudu if one is going to sit and make dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the proof of that? What is the dalil? The proof of that is that once the Prophet ﷺ was walking in the street, and then he went away from his companions and answered the call of nature, he urinated, and then he returned. And when he returned, somebody came on the street and he said, "Assalamu alaikum." And the Prophet ﷺ, he kept quiet. And he kept walking until he reached a wall. When he reached the wall, he touched the wall and he made tayammum. He wiped his face and his hands, and he made tayammum. Then he said, "Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullah." So the Sahaba were surprised, and he said, "I did not want to remember Allah when I was not in a state of tahara, in a state of wudu." So he explained to them, based on this hadith, that the scholars consider it recommended when one makes dhikr to have a state of wudu. It's not required, but it's recommended. When one wants to mention Allah and make dhikr of Allah, it's recommended, something good to have. That is the proof in this case. Also, it's recommended to have wudu when one is going to go to sleep after being in a state of janaba. Somebody, they had the spousal relations, intimate relations, and now they want to go to sleep, but are not going to do the full ghusl. So here the Prophet ﷺ recommended that the person do the wudu and wash the private parts before going to sleep. And he answered, or he stated in some narrations, the reason for that is, he says, "I fear that Jibreel alayhi salam will not come to that person if he were to die in that sleep." If he's in a state of janaba and he were to die in that state, then he said, "I fear that if he died, Jibreel will not attend to him." That's what's mentioned in one narration. So another place where it's recommended to have wudu is before going to sleep, if one is in a state of janaba. Another time when it's recommended to have wudu is when in between the relations, the intimate relations with one's wife. And the Prophet ﷺ said that, and this is of course from his sincere advice to his ummah, that if a man had relations with his wife, the Prophet ﷺ said, after a man has relations with his spouse, he wants to return a second time, let him perform a wudu in between them. And in a narration he said, it is more energizing for the return. And the Prophet ﷺ, he gave sincere advice to his ummah. So the time when it's recommended to have wudu is between the two relations that one would have with his spouse, with his wife. And this type of wudu, the scholars, they mention, it's not really the same type of wudu that we make for salah. It's a unique type of wudu, because can a person make wudu when they're in janaba? Can they have the full wudu that they have when they're in a state of janaba? Does that wudu count as the full state of purity? This is a different type of wudu. In fact, the scholars, they have a very interesting trivia question. They said there's one type of wudu, nothing breaks it except having relations. And they said, what type of wudu is this? The wudu that one makes after having relations and wanting to go back a second time. Because he's in a state of janaba. If he were to do something else, use the bathroom or pass gas, that wudu, he still keeps that wudu until he goes back to his wife a second time. And then of course, after he has relations, and if he were to go back again, he would have to make a third wudu. And this is mentioned in the books of fiqh. Okay, so this is also, I hope this is clear, that this is another time when it's recommended to perform wudu, but it's not obligatory to make wudu. Another time where making wudu is recommended is whenever one breaks it. Whenever a person breaks their wudu, it's recommended to make wudu again. Does anybody know an example from the life of the Prophet ﷺ or one of the Sahaba that indicates this? That whenever you break your wudu, it's recommended to make a fresh wudu? Bilal radiallahu anhu. Yes. The Prophet ﷺ, when he was raised up to the heavens on the Isra and Mi'raj, he heard the footsteps of Bilal walking in front of him. So when he came back, when Jibreel alayhi salam brought him back, he went and searched for Bilal. He said, "Ya Bilal, what did you do that I heard your footsteps ahead of me in paradise? You were walking in front of me in Jannah." So Bilal radiallahu anhu, he said, "I don't know anything I did, O Messenger of Allah. I can't think of anything except that every time I break my wudu, right away I refresh my wudu. Every time I break my wudu, I refresh my wudu and I pray 2 rak'ahs right away with those wudu in order to use that wudu right away in worship." So due to this eagerness to renew his wudu and pray, his footsteps were ahead of the Prophet ﷺ walking in paradise. Bilal radiallahu anhu. So this is another time when it's recommended to make wudu, but not obligatory. Whenever we break it, it's recommended to also do a wudu. Finally, one other time when it's recommended to do wudu is when one already has wudu. This is called wudu upon one's wudu, or nurun ala nur in some narration. And the proof of that we spoke about last week or the week before when we talked about the eating of the camel meat. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Do we make wudu from eating camel meat?" He said, "Yes." He said, "What about from the sheep?" He said, "If you want." So the scholars, they said that if he eats the sheep, he didn't say you have to make wudu, he said, "If you want." So that means, did his wudu break when he ate the sheep? It didn't. But he told him, can he make a wudu on top of that wudu? Yes, he said, "If you want." So wudu can be made on top of a wudu. In some narrations, this is called nurun ala nur, or this is refreshing one's wudu, and this is also something that is recommended. So it's recommended to always be in a state of wudu, and even to make wudu on top of the wudu that a person already has. And one final point, inshallah, before we finish, and also regarding that, having wudu and always being in a state of wudu and also renewing wudu upon the wudu, there's some narrations that you hear commonly that wudu is the weapon of the believer. Wudu is the weapon of the believer. And the reason that people, that this is said, is because if a person is always in a state of wudu and they have an emergency or they have to call and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or they have to rush to prayer, they'll always be ready to turn to Allah and it'll be very easy for Allah to answer their dua. So being in a state of wudu is the weapon of a believer because any moment he can raise his hands to Allah, and being in that state of tahara, it's the best way to make dhikr of Allah, and it's more likely that Allah will answer the du'as. So this is a weapon for the believer that will help him in a situation where he needs to make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So having wudu is, being always in a state of tahara is something very much recommended. Something that is very much recommended. And finally, just a side issue relating to what is called the Salatul Wudu. We talked about Bilal, and whenever he made wudu, he prayed right away 2 rak'ahs. And this is what some of the scholars call Sunnatul Wudu. Sunnatul Wudu, whenever you make wudu, you pray 2 rak'ahs in order to hasten to use that wudu to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Sunnatul Wudu, the scholars say, can be done at any time any time one does the wudu, he should do the sunnah of wudu. However, during the prohibited times, after Asr and after Fajr, does one do the sunnatul wudu? Is one allowed to do the sunnatul wudu? The majority of ulama, they say one does not do the sunnah of wudu during the prohibited times. However, Imam Shafi'i, he said that any prayer that has a cause, a sabab, is allowed to be done at any time, even the prohibited times. So according to Imam Shafi'i, if you make wudu after Asr, you can go ahead and pray two rak'ah. If you enter the masjid also, and there's tahiyatul masjid, you can do that after Salatul Asr, according to the Shafi'i, Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. So this is one of the matters where he understood it to mean when the Prophet ﷺ said La Salah, no prayer after Asr, he meant just making nafl prayer. But if you have a reason for it, like the entering the masjid or making wudu, you're allowed to do that salah after the Asr salah. So to summarize, inshaAllah ta'ala, and we'll see, I'll test if how much you can remember. Wudu is required, obligatory when? To do the salah and make the tawaf and which one?
After he sleeps with his wife.
Okay, that's for recommendation, not obligation. But required is for salah and tawaf, and most of the ulama say touching the Muslim. Number two, the tahara is recommended for certain acts of worship, like making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's recommended. Is it required? Is it required to make wudu for zikr? It's recommended. It's not required. You can make zikr of Allah, but it's not required. And then sometimes the wudu is recommended even for not doing worship, like between relations between one's wife, and also going to sleep before in a state of janabah. And the one type of wudu that is not broken by anything except marriage relations is the wudu that one makes in between the relations with the spouse. That means if he did that wudu and then he broke his wudu in some other way, he doesn't have to go and renew that wudu. And likewise, the same thing, the wudu you make before you go to sleep in a state of janabah, if you were to break that wudu by anything else, it doesn't affect it, because that wudu is a special type of wudu that is not related to actually being in a full state of tahara. One is junub, but that wudu is just something that is recommended by the Prophet ﷺ before one goes to sleep. So I hope that clarifies, inshaAllah, some of the examples. Also, the final one is making wudu is also recommended even if one already has wudu. Even if you already have wudu, the Prophet ﷺ, it's known throughout his life, he always made a fresh wudu for every salah. So this is called in some narrations, Nurun ala Nur, light upon light. Because wudu, actually literally in Arabic, it comes from the word Daw. And what does Daw mean? It means light. And it means purity and cleanliness. So making wudu, these are the places that will have light on the Day of Judgment. So making wudu on top of wudu is also a great and meritorious act. So alhamdulillah, we praise Allah who gave us these means of purification, inshallah, and help us to practice them. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward all of you for staying, inshallah. May Allah accept from all of you and give us the beneficial understanding of the deen, inshallah. We'll continue in this chapter next time, bismillah ta'ala. And if you're all welcome to ask any questions, if you have, inshallah ta'ala. Any questions or inshallah. Yes, brother.
No, I don't have any questions.
You mentioned about
visiting.
Yes, yes.
Can you explain that to
people? This is a narration, and Allahu A'lam if it's how authentic the narration is. It's not something that I don't have the takhrij or the authenticity of the narration to say, but that's what some of the ulama mentioned when talking about going to sleep, making wudu before going to sleep, that the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm afraid that Jibreel alayhi salam would not go to him if he were to die at that state. So this is just mentioned in some narrations, but I cannot I don't have any further details about it.
Sure.
I can check it for you next time.
Sure.
Yes, brother, you have any comments or questions?
Said it was very clear.
Exactly.
Inshallah, in the next class we will revise it a little bit.
Inshallah, that's always good, yes, to see if we can remember the ahkam, inshallah. Alhamdulillah. Yes,
what? When we do guru in the state of Nava, we have to perform complete wudu or some part of the wudu or
ghusl. Okay, to do the wudu before going to sleep, if somebody's in a state of janaba, do you have to do the complete wudu, or can you just do the arkan, like the pillars of wudu, which is the face, arms, head, and feet? You mean? Yes. The wudu, it has obligatory parts and sunnah parts, and also doing it three times is sunnah. Doing it once is the obligatory part. So I guess the question is, when one wants to do the wudu from the janabah, can they only stick with the arkan, the basic parts of the wudu, or do they have to do the full wudu? The same would apply in any circumstances. The wudu is like anything else. The sunnah is always recommended. But if someone misses a sunnah by accident, it doesn't nullify the wudu. But it's always good to do the sunnah. We don't leave it out. It's not good to say, is this sunnah? And you say yes, then I'm not going to do it. That's not the reason why we learn the sunnah. But we learn what is fard, what is required, and what is sunnah, so that if we miss the sunnah, we know that our wudu or our prayer or anything else is still valid. But making the wudu so short by skipping certain parts, like for example you said rinsing the mouth and nose, some of the ulama actually say that that's actually required, because the mouth and the nose is part of the face, and the face is one of the obligatory parts. So it would be the full wudu. But perhaps, you know, Allahu A'lam, if one washed once instead of three times, the wudu is valid. The Prophet ﷺ, he did wudu, he washed once, and he said this is the basic requirement of wudu. Then he washed twice, and he said this is the wudu of previous nations. Then he washed three times, and he said this is the wudu of my ummah. So he recommended strongly to do it three times. Wallahu A'lam. So Allah knows best about the wudu. And that's a good question, actually. What if the water, for example, there's no warm water available or something like that? So one can use less water, for example, and wash once instead of three times, etc.
This is a very common question. Before you go for the shower,
yes,
you have to perform, like, according to sunnah, three times you wash every part of them.
Okay.
And then you're going to shower, and actually you're going to be,
Yes. No, that's a good question. The wudu is not recommended if one is going right away to do the ghusl. It's not recommended. It's only recommended for two things. If one is going to go back to his wife, or if he's going to go to sleep, then it's recommended for those two things. But if he's going to go and take a shower right away, he doesn't have to do wudu at that time.
Like Jummah prayer, if you are coming from the Jummah prayer.
Yes.
We go for the shower and we just, you know, rinse the mouth and nose and, you know, and then we take shower, will you be done?
Yes, the stronger opinion amongst the ulama is that the ghusl counts for the wudu as well. The ghusl will count as the wudu, but also the sunnah is when we make the ghusl, we should do the wudu in the shower as part of the ghusl. You can do the wudu during your shower. But if you do a ghusl, then it counts as the wudu. You'll be purified from both, because you cannot remove the major impurity without taking away the minor impurity with it. This is what the ulama, they say on that issue. Jazakallah khair, very good question. Yes, brother Muhammad, do you have any questions? Yes, brother Zahir.
And then I
have
the same question too.
Yes. Yes, very good question. The wisdom behind the wudu in between relations with the spouse is, as it said in one narration, it will be more energizing for the relationship. And the Prophet ﷺ was so concerned that there would be the happy relationship between the husband and the wife, even to the extent that he gave the recommendation on how the husband and the wife would be happy together in this intimate matter. And that, he said, it will be more energizing, meaning that it will be more likely to bring the purpose of that relationship. And if without that, perhaps the relationship would not have the full purpose, which is to bring the permissible halal enjoyment between husband and wife. So this was a recommendation that the Prophet ﷺ gave, so that they would achieve the full purpose of marriage, which would bring and achieve happiness between both husband and wife. There is other, the touching of water, which is cold, it gives a person more energy. Just like in the morning, one is tired and lethargic. If they touch cold water, then when they feel more energized and more energetic. So likewise, if a man were to go to his wife and he's in this tired state, he might not achieve his desire or nor hers. And so that both of them would have a negative effect on their marriage life. And so the Prophet ﷺ was eager that the husband and the wife, they would find this, this would benefit them in their intimate relations with one another. And also the Shaykh, he mentioned on another occasion, and I'm just conveying from what he said, that a man might find that he doesn't have the energy, and so he can go to sleep. And if he tries and he doesn't have the energy, it might embarrass him and cause harm in the sight of his wife. So he mentioned this, that, you know, in order to, that a person should not even try that relation if he doesn't have the energy for it, because it could negatively harm his family relationship.
It's also recommended for the woman or just for the
man? Wallahu alam, this is a question I haven't found an answer to it yet. Is it recommended also for the woman or not? Generally speaking, every hadith applies to both men and women, generally speaking. But in this particular issue, I don't, because the text of the hadith actually says, if the man wants to return to his wife, he should do the wudu. So it specifies specifically the man, and it says that it will be more energetic for him. And since he is the one who is the one who initiates the contact, so Allah knows best. I would have to check to see what the scholars say, but the text, it mentions the husband specifically. That's a good question. Actually, we're going to come up to this issue. Actually, I'm glad that you brought that up. And yes, that is one of the, that is also something that is taught in Islam, that the Prophet ﷺ, if he did go to another wife, he did also purify himself in between, and that is something that is taught in the Islamic law. No, is that okay?
doesn't apply.
Yes.
Doesn't apply here.
Jazakumullah khaira. Everybody, inshallah, everybody bring your friends next time and your family. Inshallah. And again, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah.